Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is the headline from at Bossip.
At who?
At Bossip, the premier destination for black AF pop culture and entertainment.
Okay.
Okay. Here's their headline.
AF.
Yeah, AF. That's right.
Black AF.
Black AF. That's right. Industry leading expert O.J. Simpson says he knows without a shred of doubt that Carol Baskin killed her husband. Industry leading
expert. Yeah.
White people.
Oh,
that's
my
what
goodness.
I'm talking about.
That became the number one story in America yesterday. Like, news stations were doing stories on that yesterday.
What, alleged killer O.J. Simpson? Accuses yeah. someone of killing their spouse?
Yeah.
The headlines write themselves.
It just does.
White people!
Former NFL star and acquitted killer O.J. Simpson today thinks Carol Baskin killed her husband.
I love tigers.
Oh, O.J.
It's a brave new world we're living in, isn't it?
It really is.
Just saying. Stop. That's what I'm just saying, O.J.
Right.
Stop.
What is that from?
I don't know. It's been a while since we heard from Dell.
Drinking and raising hell and smoking dope and chasing women.
That was at the beginning of this thing, too, Ryan.
God, Dell made us feel all better about ourselves.
Yeah.
Little
now
we
all
know.
We have is Joe Exotic and OJ.
Yes.
Pretty much it.
And Joe Exotic, they say, may have the corona now.
Right, he's in corona quarantine
yeah.
or something.
He's in
yeah.
prison.
Right.
He's
in, how did he get
corona
in prison?
That's the interesting thing. I don't know. They're talking about like all of these prisons now having the coronavirus and people in jail having the coronavirus. And they're letting people out of jail early who, you know, could be getting the coronavirus. Like 3,500 people were just let out yesterday in California.
I mean, I saw the story yesterday that the the governor of Florida said that there was coronavirus cases possibly dating back to when the Super Bowl was in town.
The Super Bowl, yeah.
Like,
so
that was perfect. I was just
perfect.
Flying around in Ubers and eating ceviche every day.
Right.
Nothing's out of shape here. I'm fine.
Right.
I'm
good. We're good to go. Yeah. Like, yeah, I saw that yesterday. I went, wait, the Florida governor also was one of the, like, the last on board to even realize anything was going on because he wanted to preserve spring break or whatever it was down there.
Drinking
and now all of a sudden
smoking dope and chasing women.
Yeah, that was Florida for the month of March, and now all of a sudden he goes, oh, this goes back to the Super Bowl. What? And you allowed all this to occur for the last 2 months, Gov?
Florida being a mess, I can't imagine.
Oh, God.
Time
Florida's
for
a
little
disaster.
Today in turning history.
Of us piled up in an Airbnb. Social distancing.
That's right, yeah.
On this date in 1990... UNLV wins the national title, beating Duke.
This night belongs to Las Vegas. They have won their first ever national championship, and in three trips, the Shark comes away a winner in a record-setting night, 103-73, UNLV.
That team was good.
Yeah, they were really good. That coach used to chew a towel, Jerry Tarkanian.
That's right.
Grandma Ma played for that team. Remember him?
And how about Brent Musburger talking
Las
Vegas?
Yeah. Yeah, great night for Las Vegas.
That point in time. On this date in 2012, Kentucky beats Kansas for the national
Johnson
title.
Johnson three, short, into the arms of Davis. And a superior team all season long was the superior team tonight. And the Kentucky coronation is complete. Champions 2012.
Kentucky beating Kansas in New Orleans for the national championship on this date in 2012.
And after that game, we drove to Houston through the bayou. Remember that?
Yes. Nothing but convenience stores with casinos.
Casinos,
attached.
Yeah. Like every gas station had like one slot machine.
One of the worst drives you can have between New Orleans and Houston.
I thought it was going to be a very scenic, enjoyable
Gross.
Drive. Boy, was I.
No, not
this
at all.
In 1995 on the women's side, UConn completes the undefeated season.
UConn has won the national championship. And they've done it in perfect fashion at 35-0.
35-0, they complete the season with the win over number 2 Tennessee.
Yep.
70-64 up in Minneapolis. This was the UConn team with Rebecca Lobo, Jennifer Rosati, Kara Walters, Nakisha Sales, another outstanding Connecticut team. Just, man, we had the 39-0 team we talked about the other day that
yeah.
had this day in history. This was the 35-0 team for UConn, 94-95. Another terrific team.
Unbelievable.
I always had a crush on Rebecca Lobo. I don't know why. Don't ask
why?
Me. Don't ask
really?
Me to justify that.
Huh. All right.
On this date in 1988, ring a bell, Bob, at all?
1988.
Well, Kansas bolted to a 14-point lead in this game, and they have never been headed, although the Blue Devils made a great rally here in the second half. They were unable to get the job. Kansas Jayhawks will play for a national championship.
They need Will. In 1988, they beat Duke in the Final Four semis, and, of course, then win the national championship over Oklahoma.
Alert.
Yeah, why would you give that away? They're going to show that game over the weekend, Josh, on one of the CBS sports channels, and now you gave away the ending.
There you go, so you know how it ended.
I've never watched that game, so I'm going to watch it.
You've seen the end part.
I've seen the end highlight. I've never watched the game from start to finish, no.
The entire game from start to finish. There you go. That is a little today in attorney history. How about a little today in Alex Gordon's memory? He joined us earlier in the show and had some terrific thoughts on 15, 14, the run.
Jersh.
Which is still going to be a debate.
Yeah.
That's right. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
You're furrowing your brow at me, Fesco.
Seems like a song that I've heard before.
No, it could be close to one. It always could be
a
near cousin.
Whether it's Ice Ice Baby or, you know, whatever that Queen song was.
Under Pressure.
I think
Under
this
pressure,
one. Yeah. I think this one's some about Kitty. Hey Kitty Kitty. Is that what it is? Or
Hey Kitty Kitty.
I saw a tiger and tiger saw a man. Doesn't that sound like those songs at all?
Got a little bit of a Led Zeppelin thing going for it.
No, I thought it was country at the beginning.
Yeah, no, a little Led Zeppelin.
Alex Gordon joined us earlier in the show today. Maybe Alex is still listening in the batting cage right now.
Huh.
He was headed to the batting cage.
9 o'clock. He was headed to the cage.
So he's taking some rips right now in the cage, continuing to get ready. But we. Admittedly, went a little Chris Farley, right?
I absolutely admitted it. You turned right into it,
and like, I'm just going to Chris Farley this. How awesome was this Game 5 of the World Series in 15?
I'll tell you a story. I think it was the 8th inning or 9th inning or something. I went into the clubhouse, and I think we were down. I think it was 2-0. And just the way we've been coming back every game, the clubhouse guys, Mike Swanee was one of them. Some of our clubhouse guys were kind of sitting around, not in high spirits. And I told him, hey, get ready to you know, put the tarps up because we're going to celebrate here in a second. And the guys kind of got fired up and kind of went back out there. And then next thing you know, we tied it up and then won it in extra innings. And we were celebrating, popping champagne. So it was a fun story to talk to those guys about.
We got this.
Yeah, we were going to be all right.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're in the clubhouse and you're down at that, it's only game five. You're going back to Kansas City for game sixes and game sevens, you know, regardless of what happened there. The World Series wasn't going to be over. You weren't going to lose the World Series. But, obviously, you like to wrap it up. I mean, I know there were a lot of people, myself included, who wanted to see them win that at Kauffman Stadium. But you never ever try to extend a series when you can win it in any sport. You go out there and you take it when you can get it, even if it means winning that thing on the road. Hey, that's okay. You go on the road and you win that thing and you take care of it and you win that trophy, and then you can come back home and celebrate it. The last thing you want to do is have that thing go to game six and then not find a way to win game six or game seven and then lose that thing at home for the second consecutive year. So you go out there and take care of business like they did.
Speaking of game five, you can hear it tonight right here on 610 Sports Radio. That's right. Classic games of Royals playback beginning tonight, 7 o'clock for the 2015 Game 5 against the Mets in New York.
Right.
Games are going to air on Tuesday and Thursday nights at 7, Saturdays at 6, and Sundays at noon. So Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday noon, you can catch some
Happy
feature
day.
Games from the 2015 World Series and other games from the past 10 years as well. Full schedule at 610sports.com. But that begins tonight. Little Royals playback, 7 o'clock for Game 5 of that World Series matchup with the Mets. You opened up a can of worms as well during this interview with Alex Gordon.
I don't know if I opened up a can of worms. We're just having a conversation among friends,
because
right?
I thought we'd had this settled. We don't have this settled.
Should Jersh have sent you in 14?
Oh, no.
No, I mean, looking back on it now, yes. Even if I was out, I just think that would be a pretty cool way to end the World Series. I mean, just thinking back on it now, if I was thrown out at home plate, that was the way everything ended. I mean, nobody would have forgotten about that. And I always think back how if it was a close play and, you know, I knew I was going to be out if I would have ran over the catcher, and knowing it was Buster Posey who was the person that broke his ankle and they made the rule of not running over the catcher at the time, there's just a lot of things that would have went into play with that. If it was a replay, if there was a safer outcome, I just thought it would have been pretty cool, a safer out either way.
Right. It would have been a great way. Do you think you would have been safe?
Probably not, but just knowing baseball, you just never know. Maybe if he makes like a one-hop throw, he doesn't catch it, or I do maybe, you know, hit the catcher and he loses the ball. You just never know. But I think earlier in the game I hit a double to right center, and Crawford made even a longer throw and, you know, put it right on the money. So, you know, looking back on it now, he did make the right call. If everything would have went the way it went, he probably would have made a one-hop throw and I would have been out by 10 feet. So if Jersh made that send and I was out by 10 feet, then nobody would have let, you know, Jersh down about it. So, at the end of the day, it was the right call.
But the old, which is what I've held on to since that time, the old, well, stuff can happen.
Yeah, you just don't know, right?
Yeah, I still think it would have taken a really nice play to him, but maybe he skips it in the dirt. Maybe it bounced past the catcher. You just don't know. It's great, though, to hear Alex go, well, if I'd have been thrown out the plate.
Would have been a cool ending.
Hey, everybody would have remembered it.
I mean, I would argue everyone still remembers it, but
yeah, but you know what he means. Like it would have been one of the coolest endings to a World Series. Say he's safe. I mean, maybe the coolest ending to a World Series, like an inside the park home run.
He would have been out,
but
by
he would have
like
tied it,
10,
you know?
15 feet. Yeah, I think that's the other thing we all forget about is that it would have just tied the game. It wouldn't have won the game. But like, he would have been out by so far. Like, he would have had to truck Buster Posey, which in my opinion would have been amazing to see. Like, I would have loved to have seen that, but like, there's no sliding around that. Like, what's he gonna do, go like Willie Mays Hayes and try to jump over him? Which might have also been a good ending, too.
Yeah, the memory of, like, Posey catching it and then running, like, 10 feet up the line to tag
it.
Wouldn't have been a great visual. Sliding into the plate and whether or not you were safe or out would have been a fantastic visual.
Alex just blows him up like a wide receiver going over the middle. That would be awesome.
But, yeah, you definitely remember that ending. It would have been the best ending to a World Series. You know, if he was either way, it would have been a lot of fun to watch. But have you really heard one person say he would have been safe? Like, nobody to a man says, oh, he would have been safe had they sent him in that situation.
No, it would have taken, again, a non-perfect or a bad play.
Yeah.
Something would have had to happen for him to be safe. Because, yes, we've gone over the science of it every which way, right?
It's the most debated play in Kansas City sports history.
So, but the question wasn't, to me, was he going to be safe? Should he have sent him?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Like I feel like I would have taken the chance to see if he could have made it.
But Salvi's coming up next.
I always wanted to see the chance of could he have made it.
Yeah.
Yes, it would have taken Crawford's good. Crawford, as he mentioned, made a play earlier in the game. That was an on-target throw. Maybe this one's not. It's a pressure situation late. Maybe you go, ugh.
Or you don't realize that he's going, and all of a sudden you got to go, ugh.
And you chuck it.
Right, and you're like a high school kid.
You don't know, which was always where I left it open. Like, you don't know. Something weird could have happened, and he might have scored.
Yeah, he may have, but I think the odds of that happening are slimmer than most people want to give it credit for. And at the end of the day, he probably would have been out by 10 feet. We all would have gone, what was Salvi coming up?
Salvi was coming up. He hit a home run against Bumgardner in the series.
Right.
You know. The thing played out. You still wanted the guy at the plate taking swings.
I know the unwritten rule is that you never want to make the first or third out at third. Does that also apply to home? I'm assuming.
I think you don't want to make the third out of the clinching.
You just don't want to make the third out of the World Series.
Determining game of the World Series.
It's an unwritten rule of baseball. Never make the third out.
Right.
Yeah. Never make the third out in the biggest game of your season to end it.
Yeah.
Would probably be a safe bet as well. The progression, Alex Gordon was obviously a part of the progression the last time towards a championship. Does he see any similar parallels between this young group and what was going on in, say, 11, 12, and 13?
You know, you see the talent for sure. That's one thing. But you see just guys with the chemistry, like loving each other and playing for each other. And I think it's, you know, taken a couple of years for these guys to understand how good they are. And I think that's what it took with us. You know, we had the talent, but it was just, you know, believing in ourselves. And I think it was 13, finally knowing that we were good enough to compete with everybody and just realizing how good we were. And, you know, I think that's how we are now. We just have to figure it out and maybe, you know, add some pieces here and there to, you know, make the team even better. But, you know, we're right there and we're capable of competing with anybody. So if this season does start and it's a shortened season, who knows what can happen. So it's, hopefully it does, and if it does, it could be fun.
And again, Alex would not didn't care what the number was, like how many games they played.
Right.
Obviously, they would love to play them all, and we'll accommodate that, but he decided he just wanted to play. I don't think the number didn't seem to matter to him, and I know the three of us took from the interview, like, players just want to play. And when the time is right for them to play, they just want to go play, and I don't think too many of them are fretting over whether it's 162 or 140 or 100 or 81.
Right.
Whatever the time frame allows, they just want to go out and play.
And you know, I just saw something online this morning that Major League Baseball's toying with the idea of a 100-game season starting July 1st and getting 100 games in. But again, it's not about the number of games. It really isn't. And I know for the owners it is because that's money in their bank. But I think right now you can't look at that. You have to look at the big picture and what's best for the United States, what's best for the citizens of America right now. And that's just getting back to baseball any way that you possibly can and back to sports any possible way that you can and not worrying about the number of games. Because if we start worrying about the number of games, then we're going to let that kind of infect the way that we kind of go about business and be like, well, if we can't get 100 games, and then there's no, there is a sense in playing, whether you play 181, 162, 62, whatever it is, to give guys and gals in this country an opportunity to get back to normal. That's what we want.
It feels like a conversation we should have over beers, and we will next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Thank you.
it's Christmas.
I don't know.
Back in, it was supposed to be. Was it? Yeah, it was. That one. That one
this was supposed to be a much, much that heavier song here. This is,
that one needs to be jettisoned.
This was. Just go I hit ahead the wrong button. It was going to be this one.
There we go. It was supposed to be opening day today. The home opener for the Royals and Mariners was scheduled to go today. Binkley's going to sim it via MLB The Show 20 on our YouTube channel today, beginning at 3.
My wife just texted me. She goes, what time is the simulated game today? My wife. I said, really? 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock for the simulated game.
Yeah. Yes. I made sure Royals we cleared it up with Jay. 3 o'clock. The rest of them are at 6 o'clock. This is the only 3 o'clock game. It's a special game.
I got you.
And then he also booked me for a pregame show on Saturday.
Is that going to be over the phone?
Yes, yes. I'm fine with like doing FaceTime if they wanted to put me up on the screen.
Right.
Put me in a flattering angle. I'm fine.
I'm going to leave this one here for you from the Sports Pickle today. Pro Football Focus says best defense in NFL history, and they're calling themselves the Quarantine Pickle now. They said O.J. Simpson's.
It is time for Beers of the Boys, powered by Standard Beverage and Corona Seltzers today. We have a large variety of Corona Hard Seltzers with us today. The cherry, the blackberry lime, the tropical lime, and the mango.
I'm excited for these today, guys. You
they
know
didn't
how much
put
I like
lime
the
in the mango?
We didn't put lime in the coconut.
There is no coconut.
No coconut.
Corona Hard Seltzer with us today. And we felt like this was probably a conversation we needed to have over beverages here. Former Kansas City Star writer, in fact, this comes from, Ivan Carter.
Yeah, good friend.
Tweeted this out yesterday. If you could go back in time, watch any baseball player ever in his prime from really good seats, who would it be? He says, I think I would want to see the Babe at Yankee Stadium. Maybe have a 25-cent beer and a nickel bag of peanuts.
Does the having really good seats change the person?
Not for me, no.
Go see?
No. I think just be go see
there,
in the
there's,
stadium.
There's, I've told the story before about going to watch Roger Clemens pitch when he was a member of the Astros back in 2005 with my man Jim Beeman, who had really good seats. And I really wanted to see Roger Clemens up close and the way that he was going to pitch that day. I mean, he was having a hell of a season that
that's
year, obviously.
That's a good one.
That's a good open right there, Josh. So for me, like, that's the one time I've done that. But I don't think necessarily, unless it's like a pitcher, like my guy is Satchel Paige. I would love to go back and watch Satchel Paige pitch and see how good he truly was, because we hear these stories, right, about how great Satchel Paige was. But I never saw Satchel Paige pitch. I never saw Babe Ruth play. So Satchel would be on my list of guys that I would just love to go watch play.
Now, yeah, you're right, because good seats can factor in. I don't have the means in which to crown seat.
Right.
Thanks to Matt Llewellyn, 23rd Street Brewery during the Greinke year, the Cy Young year. Went to a game with him. We sat in those. Watched a Greinke start.
Nice.
And that was like, wow. You're like right there. Yeah. Watch a start. A pitcher might. You might want to be close up, but no, it wouldn't have to be the really good seats.
Yeah, I feel like behind the seat or behind the plate seats are always like that. Yeah. That would make the decision for me for pitchers for sure.
Now, I think Satchel Paige has always been on my whenever the who would you have loved to watch list comes up, Satchel Paige to me and Josh Gibson out of the Negro Leagues.
Yep.
And then I want them pitching and playing and hitting against the major leagues. I want them in where they rightfully should have been, which was in Major League Baseball at that point in time.
Sure.
So I would love to go back and watch them compete where they should have been competing in Major League Baseball.
I would also like to go back and see Babe Ruth play, because all we have are those videos of him running really fast around
the bases.
Yeah, he
looked really fast
bases.
In those
videos. He's waddling. He's waddling. Yeah. And they're like,
but
they
he's waddling
sped
fast.
Up, they sped up the video.
Oh, really? That wasn't his true speed?
I'm pretty
right.
sure they
I want to. I want to see for sure.
I also would like to see him pitch, guys, because we hear about, you know, his hitting, and we know about his hitting, but we also hear about how good a pitcher he really was. And I don't know if I've ever seen video or anything like that. Babe Ruth pitching.
I have a couple.
And he winds
of guys.
Up really fast too.
Yeah. I have a couple of guys that land on that. Like, I'd like to see it just because I want to know. Josh Gibson's one of them, right? Like, I just want to know. I got to see this for myself because, like, all the stories about him are, like, Paul Bunyan-esque, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, he hit a home run, like, 700 feet, and it went over. Like, I mean, there's great stories about Josh Gibson. So I think that he would be a guy that I would love to see just to know. And then I think, too, like, some of those, like, tobacco card era guys, like Cy Young and like Ty Cobb, like guys like that, I'd like to go see just so I can get a gauge on it. Like, was Ty Cobb really good or was the hitting just really bad? Like if you took Ty Cobb and plopped him into today's game, gave him a little bit of time to get caught up to speed on, you know, all the calisthenics and the workouts that the guys do, but like, would he be as good and as dominating as he was, you know, back in the day? Maybe he was just an average pitcher in the game and not caught up to him yet. I'm not making that claim. I would just like to know. I'd like to be able to go back and sit down on the bleachers and sit there and watch him and go, wow, this Cy Young fella's pretty good.
I would have also liked to have been there when Jackie Robinson made his debut for the Brooklyn Dodgers. I was watching something yesterday on a sports channel, Spectrum Sports LA, I was watching, and they had like this Dodgers show on that they were doing, like behind the scenes of the Dodgers. And great TV show if you're a baseball fan. I'm not kidding. Like it was really captivating, and they were going through, you know, each week in the Dodgers or whatever it was, what was going on that week. But they had one with Sharon Robinson on there, and she was talking about, she goes, my dad never played in Los Angeles, but we consider this still our home. And it got me to thinking, man, I would love to go back to Ebbets Field and see Jackie Robinson make his debut for the Brooklyn Dodgers and do that there in Ebbets Field and see a game at Ebbets Field and see Jackie Robinson play, and just to see how good he was, because he was a great football player too, guys. He wasn't just a great baseball player that broke the color barrier. He was a great athlete. He was an amazing football player at UCLA, and man, I would have loved to go back and see him play too.
And then Willie Mays was always on my list too. I had a Willie Mays card when I was young.
Yeah.
And it was Willie with the San Francisco Giants.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Or no.
The Mets?
No, it was with the Mets.
Okay.
I'm sorry. So it was like a late. And I loved the card.
So back when you started covering baseball?
No, it wasn't. It was when I was a kid. But I never saw him as a player. But I coveted the card because I was like, oh my gosh, this is Willie Mays. It's like one of those, oh, it's Willie Mays. Oh my goodness.
Then your mother threw it away.
Yeah. No, I think this one actually was sister dropped it in the toilet.
Oh, you're being serious?
Yeah, I'm being serious. Sister dropped it in the toilet. Now, it was a Mets card, so it didn't have much.
But still, it's, you know.
It wasn't heyday, Willie Mays was late. So I was so mad at her.
Say
she dropped
heyday.
It in the toilet. It had wrinkles on it, you know, and everything. Like, oh, how could you do this? It's my Willie Mays card. Ah.
Right.
It was probably classic, like, brother-sister thing. She was probably just being an idiot, like, I'm going to show you.
Right.
Drop it in the toilet. Didn't flush it, and I had to fish it out. But I never saw him play. I've seen, you know, you've seen the videos and whatever, but it's not the same. I've always been in the camp of, I can only say the best players I've seen do it.
Yeah.
Like whenever the quarterback, for instance, in the NFL, whenever the quarterback lists come up and they go, can't forget about Johnny Unitas. And I'm like, I never saw Johnny Unitas.
You saw that one play against the Giants in 56.
I can't do it. I mean, there's a few Mays plays, but I wasn't there. I don't know.
You saw the over the shoulder.
Yeah. Picture. Yeah. I would love to go to the Polo Grounds, whatever, and see, whatever. But yeah, Willie Mays has always been on that list for me. I'd love to see him in his prime.
Anybody else for you, Ryan?
I mean, I think maybe Ted Williams, like when he was hitting at a 400 pace, which was like two different seasons. Like I would like to go see Ted Williams play. I think a lot of these guys are just, you know, we have the conversation all the time about who's the greatest player you ever, you know, of all time. And it's never the greatest of all time. It's the greatest that you saw. I think some of these guys, like Willie Mays was, like, there's too many people of his generation that say he's the greatest player of all time. I've never seen him play outside of grainy highlights, right? Like, I would like to be able to put that together. And I think also just, like, we romanticize the eras that we either grew up with or are living in. You know, like, I think guys my age, your age, like, Jordan's the best player of all time. We're not going to get on that LeBron train because we grew up watching Jordan.
I'm pretty defiant about that. Yeah.
And I maybe there is a case. I don't know. I'm not. That's a debate for another day. But like to me, I think that when it's just all the debate about, you know, the greatest of all time, it's really the greatest you've seen. So I'd like to be able to put some of these into frames of reference, right? Like I'd like to be able to see Ernie Banks. I'd like to be able to see Roberto Clemente. I'd like to be able to see a lot of the old pitchers as well, like Sandy Koufax. You know, like
Bob Gibson.
Bob Gibson as well. Like I mean, Bob Gibson was a guy that a lot of people in baseball say that guy changed the game. I mean, they lowered the mound because of Gibson. Like they did all sorts of things to try to combat like these guys that were so good at what they were doing. Same thing with like Ted Williams. Ted Williams is the reason they invented the shift. So like, you know, I just would like to be able to put a frame of reference to what I see nowadays versus what was going on back in the day, because I don't want to take anything away from those guys. But again, like you do have some questions about the level of talent and skill and some of the other players around there. Like, you know, Babe Ruth was hitting, you know, 50, 60 home runs when the rest of the league was hitting like five. So, right. Like, what was going on there?
Right, yeah. No, it's crazy, too. And you wonder if those guys today could even play with the guys that are out there today. Because back then, man, they were drinking beers under the bleachers and smoking cigarettes and not caring about their bodies and eating habits. And
man,
you know,
living the good life.
Living the good life. Like, could they, like, I've got a picture of Mickey Mantle and Joe DiMaggio on my wall here. And I'm looking at those guys right now, and I'm thinking, what would they be like in 2020? You know, what would they be like right now playing baseball? Would they be like? Would they look at this?
Mantle
and go,
would be on TMZ all the time.
Yeah,
that's another one.
Yeah.
Mickey Mantle. Yeah, I'd like to see him.
Mantle'd have a lot of off the
Babe head. Ruth would be on TMZ all the time possibly. Too. And Joe DiMaggio was you know with what's her name out there, that actress Marilyn Monroe.
693-06. I'm pretty young, and the guy I would want to see is Tony Gwynn. Yeah. So, yeah, that's one of our younger listeners. Somebody else says another younger listener, Pete Rose in his prime or Ricky Henderson.
Yeah, Ricky Henderson was great.
Ricky was outstanding. I would love, if baseball could do one thing, I'd love to bring back the glory days of the stolen base.
Yeah.
That stolen base era with Ricky, Ron LaFleur, Tim Raines,
yeah.
All those guys that
the
could
hell
fly.
Is Ron LaFleur?
You don't remember Ronald Ford?
I don't.
He was in that. He was in that group too. Nobody said Buck O'Neill. Yeah, he'd be amazing to watch as well. And then from the Bleep U department, someone says at least Josh got to cover Wilt at Kansas.
That's true.
That is not true. That is not true.
Were you there? Were you the one that took the picture where you was holding up that 100 sign?
Yeah. I drew the picture for him.
Your number two pencil and gave it to him.
I did. It is Beers with the Boys, powered by Standard Beverage and Corona Hard Seltzer with us today.
How were those things, by the way?
They're good.
Some cherry,
yep.
Mango, tropical lime, and blackberry lime.
I like the blackberry lime one a lot. The cherry one is really good as well. They're very, very refreshing, very crisp, and perfect for a nice hot summer day. So get yourself some Corona Lime Seltzers or Corona Hard Seltzers, I should say. There's more than just lime.
Booger, he ain't a fan. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Voting continues in the Gone But Not Forgotten bracket. Go to @610SportsKC to vote. 23 hours left as we're down to four. The four seed Dexter McCluster taking on the seventh seed Andy Studebaker. The fourth seed, the highest remaining seed in this tournament. Andy Studebaker right now leading 58-42. The other matchup has the 7th seed Louis Aguiar against the 8th seed Tomarik Vanover. Aguiar, one of the early surprises of this tournament, kind of blew through this thing. But Tomarik Vanover continues to impress. 64-36 the lead for Tomarik Vanover. Mm. Again, 23 hours remaining. Every vote counts. Go to @610SportsKC. To vote.
I think I have numbers for like at least half of these guys, right? Like of the final four. So I'm pretty confident we'll be able to get the winner on, but man, I really got to start working on tracking down Tomarik Vanover.
How are you presenting that to the person that you call?
I don't know. I've been working it out in my head. I was texting with Dexter McCluster the other day. That's not a name drop at all. And I let him know that he didn't seem like he was honored by it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. You didn't think. Yeah, I could see how it could spin that way.
Yeah, I'm what now?
You're in the Gone you But Not Forgotten bracket. You're doing really well in our Gone But Not Forgotten bracket.
People still remember you. No.
Text Studebaker. See what
I'm kind of afraid to. I don't
text really, Andy on that one. He's really, listening anyway.
I don't really want to make eye contact, man, at this point. I know, but still.
You may come over to the house.
We do a live inversion.
It's good.
Live
version. That's it's perfect. That's what I'm saying. We got to get the winner of this thing on.
Yes,
we're not
course.
Just going to let it go by the wayside. Like, we could definitely get these people to join the show.
Well, yeah, they got nothing else to do.
I don't know if the number I have for Aguiar works either, as we're planning this out on the air. So
call Tammy. She'll get it taken care of.
don't spill the beans, and everybody's going to know where we got their number from.
What?
Ask me to never call him again.
That's right.
You did get that from somebody, but no, that wasn't from Tammy.
No, that was not. That was not.
Hey, by the way, do you have a number for... Oh, yeah, here it is.
That's going to be a post-retirement story.
Without revealing anything, a former chief is not pleased that Ryan found his phone number.
Yeah, told him to lose his number. That's the first time. Yeah. You know, usually once these guys retire, they're happy to talk to anybody. They're just happy that people are calling them and remembering, you know, who they are. And I always share the Hank Stram story from right before he died back in the early 2000s when he went into the Hall of Fame. We had him on a show I was producing at the time, and at the end of the interview, he said, thanks for the thought that prompted the call. Not thanks for calling or thanks for the interview, but thanks for thinking about me, basically. And these guys get to that point where their stars, 78,000, are screaming for him every day, and then like this, it's over and it's gone, and they're walking around and they don't know what to do. It's hard. It's not easy. And so when you remember these guys and think about these guys, it makes them feel good. It makes them feel like they're back again. You know,
this particular former chief did not have that same thought for Ryan.
No.
Booger McFarland of ESPN, not a fan of the NFL's expanded playoffs.
When you look at what we've had, which it rewards the top two seeds, especially teams that go on and have outstanding season, you get that bye. And that bye is important from a mental health and a physical health standpoint. Also, I don't like adding teams to the postseason, Greeny. I think it should be hard to win a championship, and the more people that you bring into it, the more people that you give an opportunity to, you're rewarding mediocrity. Because we talk about the Rams and the Steelers. We both know those situations, it was highly unlikely, based on the regular season that the Rams and the Steelers had, they were going to make any kind of hay in the postseason. But we're going to reward them and bring them into the postseason. I don't like it, and it's definitely going to pay a big deal for teams not getting that bye.
Talking a little bit on both sides of
his mouth. It is going to pay a big deal.
Okay? Talking a little bit on both sides of his mouth. He says, I want winning a championship to be hard.
Well, it just became harder.
It became harder because the two seeds no longer getting a bye. So it's harder.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're rewarding a mediocre team by getting in the playoffs. You're probably not. You're rewarding an okay team to get in the playoffs that was on the cusp of getting in before. But it does make winning a championship harder. Last year, the Chiefs would have had to play one more game.
Yeah.
And one more game in which they were kind of banged up. Chris Jones might not have played in that game.
Kelsey may not have played
Travis Kelsey might not have played in that first game. Maybe you don't win a game without those two on the field. The bye seemed to be a huge advantage for the Chiefs in this most recent run.
You heard Andy Reid at the end of that final regular season game. The first thing he said to the team on the video we watched, we got a bye.
So it's a big deal. And that to me is the only negative of this playoff format. And it's really selfish. It's because my team might be impacted by it.
Right.
If your team was a fringe team, then you'd feel completely different. Like a number of years ago, remember when the Chiefs were at the forefront of recommending more teams to the postseason?
Right.
It was Carl's thing.
It was Carl's thing because they got left out. That 2005 team that was 10-6 that got left out of the playoffs would have faced Denver in the first round of the postseason.
And at that time, I'm like, hell yeah, Carl, go get them. More teams in the playoffs. Why? Because it benefited our team at that point in time. Like, yeah, I understand why you wanted to be in the postseason. I still could take enough out of this to say it's better for the overall good of the NFL. Right?
Yeah.
It creates a lot of excitement for that first week of the playoffs. It creates more teams staying afloat during the season, which is ultimately good.
Right.
I've wanted that for baseball for years. I think it's one of the negatives of baseball. Your team's not in it and they're out. There's enough good of it to overcome the, oh man, it would screw the Chiefs in this particular instance if they don't get the one seed. But now, I guess The challenge is go get the one seed.
Go get the one seed. Yeah, go out there and win that one seed and put more emphasis on the regular season. But, you know, as we said yesterday, it really makes you think about those LeSean McCoy fumbles and how big those were, because if he doesn't have those fumbles and you win those games, you're 14-2. You have the one seed in the AFC this past season, and you're not going into the first weekend of the postseason. So everything you do in the regular season
or
is magnified. Those key turnovers are going to be big.
Now you could play the yin and yang of it. If you don't bottom out at Tennessee.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah.
Maybe you're in a different spot, but if you don't bottom out at Tennessee, maybe you don't ever turn it or
maybe
you don't ever get the switch that was flipped.
Right.
So, I mean, that was a huge game. You're like, yeah, I should have won that game. Maybe it would have made a difference for seeding, right?
Right.
But also, if they didn't have that flop in their eyes, maybe you don't get on the course that leads you to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I think it's good for everybody, because ultimately, like, if you're a Lions fan, a Browns fan, a Bengals fan, you know, Jaguar fan, it's not going to change for you. You're not in the playoffs anyway. For a lot of teams, though, you know, we start talking about playoff seeding basically after week one, week two of the NFL season, and you always have that in the hunt category. That in the hunt category now becomes bigger. More teams become interested. More fan bases become interested. More people are watching games on TV towards the end of the season. If you normally would have tuned it out because your team's not involved, gives you that opportunity to get more fans. It's better
for
everybody. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. And I don't think, and again, rewarding mediocre teams. We know that they did. They could have a chance.
Yeah.
You get in that playoff and you have a chance.
You do.
You could have a run as a team that didn't look like that they were going to have a run, could have a run. And I like giving that opportunity too.
Yep. And six seeds have made it to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl before. I think the Giants were a six seed the year they beat the Patriots.
If a team doesn't belong in the playoffs, okay, if you presumably say that team didn't belong, we knew the Steelers didn't have a chance last year. You know what? The onus then is on the Chiefs to beat them.
To beat them.
Right, because the Chiefs would have faced the Steelers right. This past year, for instance. Well, if that team doesn't belong in the playoffs, then the onus is on the higher seed to go win that
to
game.
To win the game.
And if they don't, you're like, well, this other team did belong in the playoffs, didn't they?
Could you
they?
Imagine so if Devlin Hodges derailed your Super Bowl season?
But think about if you're Devlin Hodges in the 7-seed Pittsburgh Steelers, you're playing loose. If you're the 2-seed Kansas City Chiefs, you may be playing tight. You may be playing tight.
Duck on house money.
Yeah.
Check out the full interview that we did today with Alex Gordon. He was terrific, told some great stories about the playoffs, and then his thoughts on this upcoming season as well. On demand section, 610sports.com. Coming up on Cody and Gold, the guys mourn the loss of the home opener. Next.
White people!
Talk to you later.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.